This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway here, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Jake back with you. It's time for the Top 4 at 4. Brought to you this afternoon by National RX. The Toys for Tots Toy Drive is all day tomorrow. We're going to be out there collecting toys for area children in need. Want you to come out and see us from 3 to 6. We'll be broadcasting live. You can bring your toys by anytime. We'll tell you more about it as we go along here. Jake?
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee defensive back Alante Taylor will not play in Tennessee's bowl game and will prepare himself for the upcoming NFL draft. Some draft boards have him going as high as a second-round pick. No matter where he ends up, one cannot deny that he played a key role in keeping the team together after all the turmoil this team has been through in the past few seasons.
Is this the first time since this trend of skipping out on bowl games started, is this the first guy we've had do it?
I don't think so. I thought we had a few more do it. Did we not?
I mean, the last one we went to is that Gator Bowl. I can't remember if we had anybody skip out on that. I don't like it. I mean, I understand, and I'm not going to sit here and demand that you get out there and play or anything like that. If you have a legitimate pro career and maybe you're a little banged up, you don't want to risk it. But, man, I just all the guys I know who played there and – even the ones that played professionally and had good NFL careers, I tell you what they wouldn't give to play one more college game
and that
out there with
the
their boys.
Jersey.
Yeah, man. It's his decision, and it's an opportunity for Haddon and Turnage and some of these other guys to basically audition for a job heading into next season. So
yeah, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed, but I mean, he's. You look at kid was recruited by. I mean, the stuff that kid's been through here, and he stuck it out with us. Good luck and warm wishes. I always remember his career here very, very fondly. Mm.
And up next, number two, the Red Sox and Brewers swung a significant trade Wednesday night just ahead of the lockout, with Boston shipping outfielder Hunter Renfroe to Milwaukee for a package deal surrounded around Jackie Bradley Jr. Bradley was a mainstay for Boston from 2013 to 2020, starring defensively in the outfield before the Golden Glover signed a two-year deal with the Brewers last offseason. And in 2018, when the Red Sox won 108 games in the World Series, he was the ALCS MVP.
Isn't there a work stoppage in baseball right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yes. That's why they got the trade in right before the lockout.
I feel like you buried the lead there, Miller. Yeah. Is it not a big deal like they think it's going to be resolved pretty quickly?
It's not going to be like the NBA where it's directly going to impact the start of the season.
Good.
I don't know. They've got some pretty major differences they're going to have to work through.
Yeah, they'll get it sorted out.
I don't see how they can have any. Everybody's making like $150 million.
Give me $500 million.
They got the whatever their union's doing, man. They're doing it right.
And number three, Notre Dame defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman, with mounting support from players and recruits, has emerged as the leading candidate to become the Fighting Irish's next head football coach. No deal has been finalized, and several steps remain before Freeman can formally be announced as the head coach.
Now, see, I'm confused here because I thought they did say that he was going to be the head coach.
No, nothing's official yet.
But all signs are pointing.
A lot of smoke, Russ.
Yeah. A lot of smoke.
A lot of smoke. Many people are saying.
Yeah, go down the list here.
Things are starting.
It's going to be really good for
Marcus
recruits.
Freeman is a name I'm hearing more and more associated with the Notre Dame job.
I'll tell you the other thing that I've noticed. I'm sure you guys, I'm assuming you all saw it today. None of the assistants are going with Kelly to LSU. They're staying at ND.
I was just talking about that with Weston at lunch. It's like none of his assistants are going with him at all.
Yeah, but here's the thing. None of Saban's assistants. There's a famous story about
Saban. Oh, yeah, Saban, I know. And then he went and hired Mel Tucker.
Michigan State. And
everybody.
Nobody came with him.
Yeah.
And he was able to.
That's a little bit different situation, though.
Yeah, Brian Kelly's a bad person.
Well, no. Brian Kelly was a known commodity. When Nick Saban moved from Michigan State to LSU, he was a
Shouldn't it be more easy for Kelly to attract an elite staff than it was for Saban?
I think it says something about how prickly the dude is. But so Saban.
And number four, the Seahawks are taking a look at Adrian Peterson to see what the veteran running back might have left in his Hall of Fame career. Coach Pete Carroll told reporters on Wednesday that the Seahawks signed the 36-year-old Peterson to their practice squad as potential reinforcement for their banged-up backfield.
Adrian Peterson?
To the Seahawks.
Whew. It must be hard up for running back.
I guess so.
I think they are.
I mean, well, we all saw the Titans games, right?
We saw that experiment.
Yeah, that did not go well.
Deontay Foreman?
Yes.
I thought he's looked really, really good for him. That fumble was
looked nice, yeah.
Crushing on Sunday.
He's no King Henry, but
yeah.
So those guys don't grow on trees, do they?
No.
All right, thank you, Jake. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by National RX. We're going to be out there tomorrow from 3 to 6 doing the show live. Terry Fair is going to be out there with us in the 4 p.m. hour. And we are going to be collecting toys for Toys for Tots and area children in need whose parents either, you know, aren't dad's not around or mom and dad there. They just don't have money for Christmas or something. It's hard times for the past couple of years for a lot of folks in our area. And we want to make sure that those kids get a special Christmas. And we hope that you'll come out and drop off some toys. We're going to have a couple of big boxes out there from the Marines. And if you can't make it out tomorrow, we're going to arrange to have those boxes there on Saturday. You can swing by National RX. They're on Kingston Pike and Farragut. Across the street from Farragut High School, right before you get to the high school, it'll be on your left if you're headed westbound on Kingston Pike, right next to the Wendy's in Farragut. So, again, toys for both boys and girls, and especially like the preteen and teen girls, hard to shop for. Go to toysfortots.org. There's an FAQ section in there where they can recommend some stuff, purses, cosmetics, things like that for that age group. And we hope to see you out there. I'm going to be heading out to Target later on today to pick up a couple of things to bring out there. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow, the annual National RX Toys for Tots Toy Drive. And Christmas.
Right around the corner. Hey, Russ. Yeah,
3 weeks from this Saturday, I believe.
Believe so. Can you take us to Breaking News Desk, please?
All right, let's go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. It's been a while since we've been up here.
It's being reported by Ian Rappaport that Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards have each been suspended without pay for the next three games for misrepresenting their vaccination status under the NFLPA COVID-19 protocol. They have accepted the discipline and waived their right of appeal, so that's going to really shed a tear over that, Adam Hickman. Your boy is going to be about two of his favorite targets.
Well, what a couple of dullards, man. I mean, if freaking Brady, assuming that he's gotten the vaccine, I mean, is there anybody that treats his body as a temple more than that guy, knows nutrition science more as an athlete? If he's willing to get it, like, what are these dudes thinking?
I don't know, because my position on it is it's even stupider, like, they aren't making you get the vaccine, but if you don't get it, you have to test, and which makes sense, and you have to follow.
Yeah, if you don't want to get it, just don't get it. Go jump through the hoops.
Just be honest about it.
Don't lie about it. Yeah.
Show up with a fake vaccine card.
Pay $500 for it. Shot was free.
Well, they may have paid $500 for that, but I could not begin to imagine what three game checks is worth to each of those guys, especially Evans. He's on one of those.
Yeah.
He's on a big contract.
So, the Oklahoma job
mm-hmm.
remains open. Still a lot of Brent Venables talk associated with that one. A lot of smoke there, Brent Venables, a name we're hearing more and more. We talked about Dan Lanning yesterday, the Georgia defensive coordinator.
And that seems like he is a legitimate candidate there. It doesn't seem like the Matt Rhule stuff is going to come true.
I mean, some sources are saying that he's a name to watch.
Yeah. We can't deprive you of this one. I mean, I will give the Oklahoma fans credit. They have been very impressive. They're getting the hang of this quickly.
Yeah.
Coaching search stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been next level.
It's been Derek Dooley noted by some of the guys over, even the
what an idiot.
The nuts over at my home base. Are impressed.
The meltdowns, the message board meltdowns, the unfounded rumors, the reports, the plane tracking, everything. They've got it going on up there for a job that's only been open, what, 3 or 4 days?
We never called for Ed Orgeron to be arrested.
That's
next level.
Yeah.
They're wanting assistant coaches arrested for recruiting violations.
That's pretty good. I can't deprive you of this, man. Brandon Drum. This is OU Insider. They're 247 board. Brandon Drum has a report. This came out late last night. We had not talked about it yet, so we want to talk about this here for just a second. And can I get some musical accompaniment for this one, please? I mean, this is good stuff right here. Brandon Drum, inside OU, writes the following. What I heard last night, what I heard again this evening, and even this afternoon, was something outlandish. But I guess not overly crazy. Okay, it's crazy if you force yourself to think of it, but there is some serious buzz with Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney and Oklahoma is being talked about right now, and he would reportedly bring Brent Venables with him too, according to this rumor.
That could quite possibly be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, Russ.
It goes on.
It's up there.
I don't like even typing all of that because it seems so crazy that I laughed hard when I first heard it. Thing is, the sources I talk to are normally pretty reliable, and they wouldn't just throw that scenario out to me without some sort of seriousness behind it.
Add that to the list. That doesn't seem like something they would just throw out there.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, these guys they're bringing it. They're getting after it down there at Oklahoma, man.
They're learning.
That's
fast.
Good stuff. Dabo Swinney is going to leave Clemson to go to Oklahoma. Like, does he even? He's from rural Alabama, right? He spent the last 15 years.
He's not leaving the South.
He's not going to Oklahoma. That's stupid.
Oh man,
that's pretty crazy.
That's not groomers.
It's pretty damn
crazy,
close.
But I mean, it's in the neighborhood.
I love Tennessee.
The wanting assistant coaches arrested is crazy. I can understand being like Roane County rage, redneck pissed, but nobody's getting arrested for recruiting violations.
The drive continues. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in with us, we'd love to hear from you. We'll go to the busy, busy phone lines when we continue next on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Cruising right along through your Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil.
What do you say, W?
Billy.
How you burning Jake Snake down?
Doing well, thanks.
So what's your question for today?
Do you like the renovations that are currently being made to Neyland Stadium?
Well, it seems to me like all we do is renovate. We don't win. That's the problem. How about let's spend some money on players and coaches and let's get some win, and then we can expand the stadium. I don't understand it myself.
I could have written your call. I knew that's what you'd say. And you're not wrong. Let's spend the money on the players first.
What would you like them to spend the money on?
Running backs.
I'd like the south end zone to be fixed first because they've been doing something on it for 20 years and done anything to it.
That's kind of the soul of the stadium, though, isn't it, Phil? You're a Southie like me.
Well, yeah, I used to be in the south end zone. Of course, I doubt if I ever go over there again for a football game. But all honesty, guys, do they care about winning? I know they want to make money, but you make more money when you win. Don't Danny White understand that?
Yeah, but I mean, again, I asked, like, what else can he do at this point? He's not going to go out there and actually buy the players. Even Alabama doesn't do that. They've got a system, right?
Get a system then, yeah.
I mean, they're spending the money on the training. You saw the new showers and locker room and everything they're doing at the practice facility. I mean, what else? Where else would we like them to spend the money?
Get some players. That's how you get them. There's ways of getting ball players in here. Alabama's perfected over the years.
So you think Danny White should take some of the money that he was going to spend that has been donated?
No, get the boosters involved. Get the players.
Okay, well, I mean, these are two separate things, right? I mean,
they're not either. It's all about getting players. We're not getting them. We got a terrible talented roster over there.
Phil, we're not talking about we're talking about the money that they've got through the athletics department that. I mean, they're spending legally. You're talking about doing stuff under the table, which, hey, I'm all for. You spend your money on whatever you want to do it. Yeah, we need ball players over here. I've always said I just want to be doing what everybody else is doing. But
they're going to have to pay the players eventually. You know it, and I know it. Then are they going to pay the coaches less then?
No, because they aren't going to have to because the money's there. We just had an idiot that couldn't do it without just completely, you know, fumbling it.
All right.
Well, we'll see how great Danny White is. I mean, all honesty, it seems to me like if you're screwing over the people who've been giving money for years, that's not very smart business, especially when the economy's in a tank right now. The inflation's about to go out of sight, so I understand. I guess Danny White don't have to worry about that, though.
I mean, are people going to be lining up to buy these tickets next year in these new club levels?
No. Why don't they fix this baseball stadium first and then do their stuff? I don't get what the priorities are. I mean,
the priority's football.
Yeah, it's football, but the football's been the priority for the last 20 years and hasn't resulted in anything.
Got to keep trying, Phil. It's all you can do.
Keep wasting money for nothing. Think about Oklahoma, guys. That's not as far-fetched as you think.
What?
Dabo Swinney used to be Alabama's bag man. He'd be perfect. Go to Oklahoma. Because Oklahoma's going to have to up it to compete in the SEC.
I just don't see him wanting to get – got a much easier path to the playoffs.
Beat Wake Forest and North Carolina and Boston
College. Yeah, and your
Boston
team's
College.
Not all beat up before you take on Alabama in the playoffs or Georgia.
Well, he's done all he can do at Clemson, I think.
I mean, that's like saying Saban's done all he can do at Alabama. I mean, how many national
championships? Saban's about 7 years old, too. Dabo Swinney's still young.
Yeah, he can keep winning national championships at Clemson.
I don't think he's going to win anymore at Clemson. I think he's gone to his apex. Everybody, you can't do it. Just about everywhere, sooner or later, they're diminishing returns. And somebody in the SEC is going to be competition for him.
That's what they kept telling me about Saban. I'm still waiting on that to happen. Maybe we'll see it this Saturday. Maybe Kirby will.
LSU's won too since Saban's there, hasn't he? LSU's the only team in the SEC that's competed with Alabama. And Auburn's competed them even though they haven't won a championship, have they?
I mean, Ole Miss has. Ole Miss did.
Ole Miss hadn't done it. Ole Miss has never won an SEC championship.
Ole Miss beat Alabama.
Beat them twice, Phil.
Have they ever been to Atlanta?
For a Peach Bowl. You asked the question. I got answers.
And we hadn't been in Atlanta since what? 07? Or 08? When was it we went?
07.
What's wrong? Hold on, guys. What's wrong? You're even more combative and argumentative than normal. What's going on today?
I mean, technically, we were there in 2017.
I mean, talk to me here for a second, Phil. What's wrong, buddy?
What do you mean, what's wrong?
You're even more combative and argumentative than your normal call. Something going on?
Tired. You're being pretty negative,
tired.
Phil.
I'm tired of this barrage thinking we're going to be great in football or not.
Well, let's talk about basketball, Phil.
Hold on.
We got Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes' Sweet 16 is his ceiling.
Phil, Come on. Say something nice about something over there. You're bringing everybody down.
I want Utah to call in. Bye.
So salty. He's at like the Great Salt Lake level of salinity today with his phone call. Now, I've heard him worse where he's like Dead Sea. And it's just like toxic.
I mean, this is like, I don't know. I'm not trying to sugarcoat or look through orange colored glasses. Yeah, there's not any championship banners being hung here in a while, but I kind of feel like things are, if not
stabilized a little bit,
if not headed in the right direction, stable.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we got a coach. Some good things are happening in recruiting.
The kids are being treated how they, you know, the kids are being taken care of on the team.
Who cares about that? It's fun to watch. We're fun to watch again.
Yeah. I mean,
I hope they're treated well and everything, but I mean, let's be honest. If we're speaking directly to the win at all costers, like, this was the most pleasant season we've had in a very long time around here.
Brian says that Phil does not get a gold star today.
No gold star for
Phil. No.
Nope.
Not at all.
He will stay at one.
We are keeping track of the new star
system. I feel like Boxcar Willie got him one the other day.
He did. I got it right here.
What happens when you fill up your star chart first? What are we – we give him prizes?
We'll get him a...
I thought we were doing dinner at Record Ridge with
nice
me.
Did
dinner at Record Ridge with... I don't know what kind of prize it is. Dinner at Record Ridge with Jake.
Thanks for doing that, Jake. We appreciate that.
I'll pay for the meal.
You know, get to go out with
I'm not giving
Phil
out.
Or Willie. Philly and Willie. Maybe you go with
Hey,
both
look,
of them.
I have broken bread with both those guys. Number one, do not try and go through a drive-thru with Philly. And... Willie sometimes is not ready for prime time out in public. I don't know.
Today's Record Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Do you like the changes being made to Neyland Stadium? We got 191 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 64.8% of the audience says yes. 35.2% say no. Beginning to settle in with a solid two-third majority saying yes. They do like the changes that Tennessee is implementing. It was a jarring photo yesterday, but I do think it's interesting. More people like it. Sam responding to the question with 100% best and most comfortable stadium to watch a game in the SEC right now is Kyle Field. Look how much money A&M spent on it. It's time Tennessee follows.
It doesn't. I don't think Kyle Field looks that good from the outside. Like if
well,
like
good
the
before.
Front of Neyland. Where they're walking down, especially at those night games, the way they light it up, that's one of the most beautiful to me. And I know I'm biased, but it's beautiful. I just want them to do that for the rest of the stadium, especially the south side.
Well, they completely imploded a side of Kyle Field in 2014.
I mean, I'm looking at pictures now. I think it looks pretty nice on the outside.
I don't think it looks as nice as Neyland.
People mad that we're taking a crane and absolutely just destroying one side of the stadium. Nah.
Let me ask you this.
These guys imploded that side.
Let me ask you this.
What?
If the picture that Russ tweeted out had not been tweeted out, and at the end of this, Russ had tweeted out a picture of it when it was finished, and we didn't see, you know, how the sausage was made, would people be that upset about it?
Probably not. It's all about the finished product.
Somebody said,
just like bologna,
universities should have like a live cam on there to where people can go and watch.
That'd be pretty cool.
Wouldn't it?
I'd be down for that.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show here this afternoon. 546-8200 if you want to jump in on the G3 Help Me hotline today. We've got some... college basketball scores, SEC scores to go over. Georgia beat Memphis last night. A Georgia team.
Two wins.
That was 2-5 coming into the game and was playing without their best player on a team that has no players anyway.
And Tom Crean was wearing a hoodie.
That was an interesting look.
Those uniforms were so ugly.
Larry Brown was on the bench for Georgia Memphis. It was quite the scene. We have to beat them, right?
You absolutely have to at this point.
I mean,
Memphis did not look good last night at all.
Well, the game last year that they won – well, no, it was the year before they came in here and won, right?
Yeah.
And that was not a great Tennessee team. We were rebuilding after the Grant Admiral Jordan Bone transition.
Right.
Kyle Alexander. And we were still finding our way or whatever. And that was – this is not a great – it should be. I mean, they've got Amani Bates and is it Duren? Jaden Duren?
Well, they got the Quinones kid.
They're loaded with five-star talent, and they lost to a terrible Georgia team.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to beat them, right? And this is going to be the last game, evidently. Barnes and Penny can't work out their differences, so we're not – I mean, the state loses. We don't get this game every year. But
– did you see what Penny said after the game last night?
No, what did he say?
He said, "I don't know what's going on, my guys. What's going on in their head? They look like an AAU team out there." It's like, well,
dude, you're the coach.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly where he came from. He was an AAU coach before this.
Georgia.
Maybe his high school coach.
Their only wins coming in were against FIU and South Carolina Upstate. They lost by 16 against Northwestern. They lost by 3 to freaking Wofford. It was their last game, and they beat Memphis last night, 82-79, without their best player in the lineup.
Apparently, Tennessee has not won in Athens since 2011.
Really?
It's a stat provided by one of our listeners.
In basketball?
Yes.
How is that possible? They're terrible.
They've been terrible.
There's no way. We've beaten them we have to,
I'm
right? Let
me do my research.
All right, you do the research. We're going to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 4:32, your Thursday afternoon edition of the show. 865-546-8200. We go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Roberto is next. What's up, Roberto?
You know, Russ, I think the most shocking part of that picture the other day for me was that is the site I've seen. That's like exactly where I come out of the tunnel to go to my seats, and I have for 30 years plus. It was just shocking when you walk into X3, X2 right there and you're looking down and it's just, there's nothing there. They just ripped it all out, you know? It's kind of sad. Maybe I'm like Bear said, I think he was onto something there though. You know, if you didn't see how the sausage was being made, would it really bother you at the end of the day? Probably not. But I don't know. That's my childhood, you know? You guys agree with that?
Are there any, like, should they have done a ceremony or something, you know? Hey, these rows that,
how about you get to buy the bleachers?
Yeah,
they could have raised some dang money. That's what they did when they did it at the Tommy Bowl.
They surprised they didn't think of that.
Or just make it like a piece of the Berlin Wall. We just
yes,
dude. People I know personally, family, have taken those orange seats and made them like part of their entertainment room or cinema room at their house. From the Tommy Bowl. So, yeah, it's 100% a thing. Could have put those benches somewhere in your house. That'll look pretty cool.
Or even just on the wall, you know, the bleacher part or something. That would be kind of cool. A nice frame for it.
If you got to buy the seat that your family sat in for the last 60 damn years, do you think that would mean something to somebody in your family? Probably. You know, how many generations of people have plopped their ass on that seat? My family would be 4.
So, that's a lot of booties.
But yeah, and probably many, many more that we don't even know about.
Sold a lot of Cokes, walked up and down that section a lot. I mean, yep. that was a money-making spot for Coke.
I just want to clarify
salesman.
For the audience, Bear said he sold a lot of Cokes, not a lot of
No.
Coke.
He means colas, correct? Sodas?
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
No. Cokes at the stadium.
Coca-Cola, Diet
along
Coke.
With, you know, half the blue-collar kids in Knoxville and the greater Alcoa area. But, yeah, you'd want to get them. They're very particular over there in that section, though. Couldn't go over there with an old rack. Had the ice kind of melted in it. Had to show up with freshly
the
poured Coca-Cola.
The irony of you saying you couldn't go over there with an old rack is not lost on me, Bear. Interesting.
Fox Sports knocks a lot of context. You don't want an old rack heading over there.
Lastly, gentlemen, This whole Brian Kelly to LSU thing is really interesting to me. I hear a lot of he's not going to be a cultural fit. He's not going to be this, that, and the other. He's a winner. He's going to win a bunch of games because it's not hard, per se, to win at LSU, especially with their, you know, they're like Georgia in that every kid that can really, really play pretty much wants to go to LSU, you know. But you're always a cultural fit when you throw up 9-10 W's every year. So he's going to be a cultural fit until he goes 8-4. That's what I think. He'll be everybody be fine with him until he goes 8-4. And I can't wait to go down there next year and see the Vols play down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Have a great.
Thank you, Roberto. That will be a really fun road trip. Now, do you want to play LSU under first-year coach Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge, coming off an open week in a night game at Tiger Stadium, just to experience that atmosphere? Or do you want to try and catch him off guard with a high noon, or I guess that would even be like 11 a.m. local time kickoff? I don't know if you've ever been to a night game at Tiger Stadium. It's pretty fun.
It's how we won it in 05.
Yeah.
Death Valley down in Baton Rouge.
But we almost stole the game in 2010.
We did.
The Dooley's Dozen game, and that was a noon kickoff where they were kind of sleepwalking.
I mean, that was not so much stolen as Dooley and company completely – the Chinese fire drill play completely stole another victory in Baton Rouge from us.
Well, Mark Curl's waiting about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to say, oh, wait, we might have a penalty. The gift that keeps on giving.
Roberto's right, though. Nick Saban wasn't a fit for LSU. There was lots of skepticism when he was hired. It's been that way with lots of LSU hires dating back to Paul Dietzel, who was a Miami of Ohio grad and an Army assistant when he was hired in 1954. Charlie McClendon had never been a head coach until he succeeded Dietzel in 62. Of course, you've got a Midwestern guy in Les Miles and Saban. It's hard to find Cajun coaches. I mean, they just had the only one. I mean, is there any other Cajuns out there other than Ed Orgeron?
I don't think so. Not that I really recall.
A fit is someone who wins. And Brian Kelly wins. I'm guessing he's going to do pretty well there. TC in Athens is next. Hello, TC.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, about Brian Kelly, so you talk about, you know, winning and all that. What would you consider at LSU, or even, let's just put it this way, how many games a year does it seem like is successful for Brian Kelly to win? Like, what would constitute success?
They might give him a one-year honeymoon period, but starting year two, I mean, those folks are going to expect like in 10-win seasons, you know. So,
and he's been at Notre Dame for 12 seasons. He's won 92 games. Do you know what that equates to per year?
No.
7.66 wins per year.
Well, he had his first two seasons were slow out of the gates, and then I think he did have two losing seasons sprinkled in there, but he's had 5 10-win seasons in a row.
Yeah, at Notre Dame. I guess the guy has definitely elevated, I think, the level everywhere that he's been. I'll give him that. But everywhere he's been has been up north. And I really do think the cultural fit is going to be a thing down there. Now, you know, there's one Nick Saban, and I think he gets away with being because he's Nick Saban. I just don't see other coaches get away with that often. If they're not winning at a championship level year in, year out, they just don't get away. You don't get away with it. And I don't think Brian Kelly's going to get away with it down there.
It just depends on wins and losses. If he's winning, he will get away with it. If he's losing.
But if he's winning at 7.66 a clip, like his record showed at Notre Dame, he's getting fired in 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can't – 8-4 is not going to cut it there. So, I mean, like I said, the expectations are going to be up there. I just think all the talk about cultural fit is overrated. I don't think that matters at all. I think
Tennessee fans would welcome in. Anybody who wins, and LSU fans are no different.
Yeah. Well, I just – we'll see. It's definitely going to be interesting to watch. And I'm along for the ride, gentlemen. Hey, man, appreciate the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, TC. Appreciate it. I mean, the example I always give is Bruce Pearl. Everybody talked about what a great fit Bruce Pearl was here. It's like, no, he wasn't. Like, there's nothing about Bruce Pearl's background that makes you think that guy would do really well in East Tennessee.
No. He fit because he won.
He fit because he won like 80% of his games and took us to heights. And, yeah, all the antics and everything, we like that. But everybody likes that when you're winning.
I love his recruiting stories. Yeah,
LSU fans love Will Wade when he acts like that. LSU fans loved Ed Orgeron when he was winning. They're like, oh, yeah, look at that crazy bastard down there. He's Cajun just like us, and he wins. And all of a sudden when they stopped winning, it was like, can we come up with some sort of like off-the-field scandal or something to help get rid of this guy? Oh, what a rape scandal and his like making passes at our administrators. That's not enough to fire him for cause.
Bimbo of the week.
All right, let's just raise the money and buy him out then.
Yeah,
people don't care about fits, man. That's the most over. You know how like Gary Danielson and John Reed and others say there's no such thing as momentum. Like they hate on momentum.
Yeah, they're idiots.
I hate on fit. Nobody cares about a fit.
Did you just call John Reed an idiot?
Hello, is today a day that ends in Y's? My name Barry. Yeah, I've done it. I do it all the time. I love the guy. He's kind of like a kid brother kind of to me, but yeah, he's an idiot.
There's
sometimes
a lot more evidence for momentum existing in sports than there is for being a good cultural fit having anything to do with whether or not you win.
I agree partly with you. But I do think there's some things that
everybody
but Butch Jones, even when he was winning, he was still a bad fit for us.
Yeah.
Prickly, easily angered Northeasterner.
You weren't saying that when we were Hawaii 5-0 and we were in here chomping at the bit and singing, acting like a couple of fools. But all of a sudden,
we did lose make to Phil South, bow down and kiss his ring, didn't we?
Lose to South Carolina and Vandy, and he's a bad fit.
No, we didn't say bad fit.
He lost to South Carolina.
That is a bad fit.
That is not what I called you and said the night that I figured out that me and you and Chance and everybody else at Fan Run weren't going to get to go to New Orleans as a group. No, I was a little bit stronger. I called him things that can't be said on air.
So people are telling me that Kelly actually won 113 games and not 92 games. I think part of it is he vacated some wins in 2012 and 2013 for some reason. Not sure why. They had NCAA issues or whatever.
That would have been the Manti Te'o season.
But, yeah, the 2012 was when they went 12-0 and lost to Bama in the championship game, right?
Got absolutely stomped.
So, I mean, there's 12 wins, so – I mean, I think you got to give him those, right? If you're just judging him on how good a coach he is, you can't just pretend like they went 0-0 in 2012 and 0-4 in 2013, which is what the record book says.
Well, I mean, that's just like, you know, there's an asterisk in the book with us against Alabama in 05 because Alabama technically got all those wins vacated.
We have to beat them next year, man. That's a game you got to have. LSU.
Oh, LSU. Yeah, you definitely got to win that.
Year one, they're going to be establishing new systems on both sides of the ball, getting used to a new coach. And Kelly went 8-5 his first year at Notre Dame. Says 1-0 his first year at Cincinnati in 2006. I don't know how that works. He was 4-7 his first year at Central Michigan. So, I mean, you don't just walk in there and, boom, hit the ground running, 10-win seasons. They're going to go through some ups and downs, just like Tennessee did this year.
Yeah.
And Tennessee has got to be shooting for what Ole Miss had. Or Ole Miss was what, 5-5 last year? Maybe 4. They were 4-5 and then won their bowl game 5-5. They
right.
Missed a game. I mean, that's what we got to be shooting for, is you get that year two jump. Everybody knows the system. You got your quarterback, big play wide receiver back, 4 starters on your offensive line, bunch of D linemen back, linebackers coming back. Hopefully they're better. Add a guy.
Lots of DBs coming back. Everybody knows the system. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. You go out there and you win.
Well, here we were talking yesterday or the day before about how, say, 10-2, 11-1 were crazy to think about, and what has Ole Miss done?
It's a great goal to shoot for.
I'm just saying.
It's a great goal to shoot for. Shoot for the heavens. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. You want to jump in on the action this afternoon. 546-8200. OG Spanky says, Dabo going to Oklahoma is like trading in your $100,000 diesel truck for a used Ferrari. They're the same price. One is way more expensive to work on than the other. Kind of follow that. Uncle Bobo says, what is Phil's view on the troughs?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what we need is his opinion. I love how we try and bring you a serious discussion about a serious issue on the show. Our beloved and iconic Neyland Stadium, the symbol of Tennessee football and what its future is. And all you dullards can talk about is the troughs.
Our beloved piece, part of the
it's part of my experience. They do have Campbell County High School.
A lot of places still have them.
DP Gregory says, Jake needs to recognize this is far more important than the Berlin Wall. Need to check him, Russ. Better retain the character. Neyland Stadium coming down more important than the Berlin Wall, for sure.
You probably would be able to sell a piece of Neyland Stadium concrete more than you could the Berlin Wall.
I've seen it online. I can't take credit for it, but whoever first came out with it today on Twitter is exactly right. If make no mistake, if Douglas Adair Dickey was still in charge, currently you would be able to buy chunks of that concrete in the Vol shop, numbered.
People be lining up to buy it, wouldn't they?
Hell yeah, they would. You wonder what he would, the stuff, yeah. And he'd be like, can you believe this? These people are buying concrete.
Brett McMurphy of Action Network reports this afternoon that multiple Miami AD candidates have told him that Miami's search is a, quote, mess. With more than 50 board of trustees and several donors involved, quote, everyone is in charge and no one is in charge. They don't know what they want to do with Manny Diaz. Half want him gone. Half want him to stay. Yikes.
Yeah, that's a mess down there.
Woo. That's the problem you have when you get too many people in a room that think they know more than what they actually do.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Exactly.
A lot of people with, what's it called, Dunning-Kruger? Am I saying that right? It's that where the most intelligent people in the room are quiet.
Yeah.
And the dumb ones think they know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we had going on here in
2017. What do you think that says about those of us who work in talk radio?
we're like textbook cases of it in some respects.
At least we're honest.
Yeah, I mean, the Miami situation, everybody, we all want to see Lane Kiffin get that job at this point, right? I mean, just if for nothing else, to watch a slow-moving train wreck.
Oh, yeah. I'm beginning to wonder, I mean, it's going to take they may be crazed enough down there where they're willing to do that.
Well, I mean,
because after your thing where you said he was inherently an unstable personality,
you're so fixated on
well,
that
yeah,
exact
because
phrase.
You very rarely are you that eloquent. Number one, no offense, and number two, like within 24 hours, there were like 8 people that basically said the same thing, and I'm not used to admitting that you're right, but you're definitely right on that one. No AD wants him. I mean, that freak show
first
on
of all,
campus.
That you have to choose an AD, and then he has to make a decision on Diaz. And the longer this goes, the less likely you are to make a change, right? Nobody wants to
do it. How do you think Manny Diaz feels reading that tweet in his office? Because you know he's
college football coaching. It's fine, but nobody wants to have to do what Tennessee did, where you make a change at the end of January last year. That's not a good time to be coach hunting.
Worked out okay for us, though.
I mean, Manny Diaz might be loving this because this the longer this drags on and as long as he doesn't have a boss, nobody can come in and fire him.
That's true.
He just keeps showing up. And then the other question I would be from the Kiffin angle is, do you want? I mean, that's the like. You don't
You don't
want
to walk into that mess.
Other than it's an easier row to hoe as far as playing in the ACC as opposed to the SEC.
I'm going to throw this out there. I really don't understand why you'd want to leave Ole Miss. Especially
did
with
you the call it Old Miss?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. I mean, you only call what we call it around the town, Ole Piss. Ole Miss.
So rude.
Maybe I did call it Ole Miss.
You called it Ole Miss.
Oh, you did.
What was that card game that old maid? Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, my
sister. You don't see that anymore.
No, my sister used to make me and my brothers play it. Like snow days. Anyhow, with the way things are now, let's be honest. It's not like the University of Mississippi is hurting for money. They got a lot of money down there with the transfer portal and everything. I mean, they haven't won it all before, and I know this was their high watermark as a program, but am I crazy for thinking that he could get Ole Miss over the hump down there with what he's got?
If you go to a 12-team playoff, perhaps.
I mean, Oxford's a nice place to live. The scenery's incredibly beautiful, as we all know. Got a lot of tradition. I don't know. If I were him, you're in the SEC. You're at a great spot. They love you. Why would you want to leave?
That's a good point.
You got a lot of job. He's got a lot of job security. You got an AD that was willing to put up with your, you know, with your silliness. He can do his Twitter thing. He's the only like coach or public figure that when I read his wacky tweets, I'm like absolutely certain, without a doubt, that's not an intern. That's not an assistant. That's Lane sitting somewhere tweeting that out.
100%.
So the Heupel story I alluded to earlier. One of the players that's coming in on an official visit this weekend is Desmond Williams. He's JUCO cornerback from East Central Community College in Mississippi. And he gave an interview to VolQuest earlier today where he was talking about his visit. Apparently Heupel and Martinez came to see him. And he said Heupel started trash-talking him about basketball, said he could beat him in basketball. And so the next thing you know, they go to the gym.
Play him one-on-one?
Yeah. He said Heupel beat him the first game, and he won the next two.
Hmm.
And Josh Heupel still out there, still got some moves, still got some game, evidently.
I mean,
put some respect on growing up Bobby Hill's name.
I mean, does it – granted, he is slipping somewhat gracefully into middle age with the rest of us, but – does it really surprise you that somebody came in second in the Heisman Trophy, probably should have won it, won a national championship, that he still retains some athletic ability, Russ?
No, I mean, I would expect him to be more athletic than the average 44-year-old or however he is.
Yeah.
But I would also expect, I mean, this kid's probably 20, 21 years old. If he has any sort of game at all, I would expect him to roast a guy that age.
I don't know. I work with a guy that challenged a former player who's older than Coach Heupel to a game of one-on-one. There was about the same age difference.
He's got that old man strength.
And that the old man just absolutely schooled him.
Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Jake will have your top five at five. And we'll continue with your phone call. Stay with us. The Drive rages on right here on Fan Run Radio.